Chapter 3. When I weakly knew an ancient Pew, and murmured there the forms of prayer, and thanks and praise in the ancient ways, and heard read out during August drought that chapter from King's harvest time brings, how the prophet, broken by griefs unspoken, went heavily away to fast and to pray, and, while waiting to die, the Lord passed by, and a whirlwind and fire drew nigher and nigher, and a small voice anon bade him up and be gone. I did not apprehend as I sat to the end, and watched for her smile across the sundial, that this tale of a seer which came once a year might, when sands were heaping, be like a sweat creeping, or in any degree bear on her or on me. 2. When later, by chance of circumstance, it befell me to read on a hot afternoon at the lectern there the selfsame words as the lesson decreed, to the gathered few from the hamlets near folk of flocks and herds sitting half a swoon, who listened thereto as women and men not overmuch concerned at such so, like them then, I did not see what drought might be with me, with her, as the calendar moved on, and time devoured our prime. 3. But now, at last, when our glory has passed, and there is no smile from her in the aisle, but where it once shone a marble, men say, with her name thereon is discerned today, and spiritless in the wilderness I shrink from sight and desire the night, though, as in old wise, I might still arise, go forth, and stand and prophesy in the land, I feel the shake of wind and earthquake, and consuming fire nigher and nigher, and the voice catch clear, what doest thou here? The Spectator, 1916. During the war. On the midsummer eve, I idly cut a parsley stalk, and blew there towards the moon. I had not thought what ghosts would walk with shivering footsteps to my tune. I went, and knelt, and scooped my hand, as if to drink, into the brook, and a faint figure seemed to stand above me, with a bygone look. I lipped rough rhymes of chance, not choice, I thought not what my words might be. There came into my ear a voice, that turned a tenderer verse for me. Timing her written to an old folk tune? Lalage is coming. Where is she now, oh? Turning to bow, oh, and smile, is she, just at parting, 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 as she is starting to come to me? Where is she now, oh, now, and now, oh, shadowing a bough, oh, of hedge or tree as she is rushing, 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 gossamers brushing to come to me? Lalage is coming, where is she now, oh, climbing the brow, oh, of hills I see? Yes, she is nearing, 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 weather unfearing to come to me. Near is she now, oh, now, and now, oh, milk the rich cow, oh, forward the tea, shake the down bed for her, linen sheets spread for her, drape round the head for her coming to me. Lalage is coming, she's nearer now, oh, and anyhow, oh, today's husbandry. Would a gilt chair were mine, slippers of air were mine, brushes for hair were mine of ivory. What will she think, oh, she who so comely, viewing how homely a sort are we? Nothing resplendent, no prompt attendant, not one dependent pertaining to me. Lalage is coming, where is she now, oh? Fain I'd avow, oh, full honestly not here's enough for her, all is too rough for her, even my love for her poor in degree. She's nearer now, oh, still nearer now, oh, she tis, I vow, oh, passing the lee. Rush down to meet her there, call out and greet her there, never a sweeter there crossed to me. Lalage is come, aye, come is she now, oh. ... does heaven allow, oh, a meeting to be? Yes, she is here now, here now, here now, nothing to fear now, here's Lalage. Before knowledge, when I walked roseless tracks and wide, ere dawned your date for meeting me, oh why did you not cry halloo across the stretch between, and say, we move, while years as yet divide, on closing lines which, though it be you know me not, nor I know you will intersect and join someday. Then well I had borne each scraping thorn, but the winters froze, and grew no rose, no bridge bestrode the gap at all. No shape you showed, and I heard no call. The blinded bird, so zestfully canst thou sing, and all this indignity, with God's consent, on thee. blinded ear yet a wing by the red hot needle thou, I stand and wonder, how so zestfully thou canst sing. Resenting not such wrong, thy grievous pain forgot, eternal dark thy lot, groping thy whole life long, after that stab of fire, engailed in pitiless wire, resenting not such wrong. Who hath charity? This bird. Who suffereth long and is kind, is not provoked, though blind and alive and sepulchred. Who hopeth, endureth all things. Who thinketh no evil, but sings. Who is divine? This bird. The wind blew words along the skies, and these it blew to me through the white dusk. Lift up your eyes, behold this troubled tree, complaining as it sways and plies, it is a limb of thee. Yea too, the creatures sheltering round dumb figures, wild and tame, yea too, thy fellows who abound either of speech the same or far and strange black, dwarfed, and browned, they are stuff of thy own frame. I moved on in a surging of inarticulateness at the pathetic me, I saw in all his huge distress, making self-slaughter of the law to kill, break, or suppress. The faded face, how was this I did not see such a look as here was shown here its womanhood had blown past its first felicity? That I did not know you young, faded face, know you young. Why did time, so ill-bestied, that I heard, no voice of yours hail from out the curved contours of those lips when rosy red, weeded not the songs they sung, faded face, songs they sung. By these blanchings, blooms of old, and the relics of your voice, Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.